Hey, listeners, I'm away this week. It's my turn to host the Chapped Cheeks Book Club, and I am way behind on Howard's Rear End. So today, we are rerunning one of our favorite episodes. It's our little love letter to a certain government agency and the tiny squares of joy they regularly deliver.
You've reached the Every Little Thing helpline. Please leave your very lickable and stickable message after the beep.
Hi, I just went to the post office to get myself some new stamps, and I was wondering, how do stamps come to be?
Hello?
Hey, Elizabeth, it's Flora from ELT.
Hi, Flora.
Are you a philatelist?
Am I a what?
A philateler?
I don't know what you're saying.
Philately. Philatelo?
It sounds like almost sexual in some ways.
It's a word that captures the love between a human and a stamp.
I'm not comfortable using this word from here on out.
You got it. That's going to be rule number one of this conversation. No more philately. Philately aside, would you consider yourself a stamp freak?
I definitely had a stamp collection as a kid, like the whole soak the envelope, get the little stamp. I love letters and I love writing letters. I pay all my bills over the mail.
Do you?
Yes. I'm a committed stamp mailer.
How often would you say you go to the post office?
Every other week.
When you walk into the postal employees ring a bell and they're like, Elizabeth's here.
No, we're not that level yet. But I think by the time I'm 45, we'll be there.
What is your favorite stamp of all time?
Solar Eclipse one, because you got to, it had the imprint to see the moon when you touched it.
Oh, yes, the heat-activated stamp.
I bought legit 20 booklets. So I've been using those for the last year and a half.
20 booklets? How many stamps are we talking about?
I think each booklet has 20. So 400?
It would take me a lifetime to go through 400 stamps.
They also did these sick incandescent, deep sea creatures last year.
Do you think that a lot of people use the adjective sick to describe stamps?
I mean, we should.
That stamp
was
sick.
Because there's designers behind these and artists behind these that are putting so much hard work into these, and they're totally uncredited.
What do you want to know?
I want to know how a stamp comes to be.
How are stamps born?
How are stamps born?
Do you think there's a grand stamp master who dreams up all the new stamps?
If there is a czar, if there is a stamp czar, I will change my whole path because that is a dream job.
I hope you're ready to uproot your entire life because that dream job exists. There is a Mr. Stamp Man.
Oh my God. Mr. Stamp Man,
bring me a dream. Hi, how are you?
This is Bill Gicker.
I basically oversee every aspect of the stamp development process.
I am so excited.
Is your pulse racing?
Who is this guy?
Bill is in charge of stamp creation at the Postal Service. But no Stamp Man is an island.
Okay.
Ideas for stamps come from somewhere else.
Step one, we'll start with the suggestions from the public. People write in with their ideas and with their desires.
Can anyone submit a stamp idea?
Anyone, yeah.
I'm going to need that address.
Elizabeth, we're going to give you more than the address. We want you to have the best chance of getting your dream stamp on an envelope.
That is awesome.
And Bill let us in on what the Postal Service is looking for in new stamp suggestions. So while you think about your submission, keep in mind these do's and don'ts.
So what we try to do is represent the best of the country.
Like the USA greatest hits.
Sort of, yes. People, places, things, and events that make us what we are.
That's sweet.
So if I wanted to write a letter, let's say, in honor of the ice cream sundae, could I submit that, or does it have to be a person?
No, the ice cream sundae was on a stamp not too long ago.
God, I'm so late to the game.
But so on target.
Bill says mass appeal will help your cause.
Pretty stamps sell. Stamps that are pleasing and don't send too much of a message.
Elizabeth, you want to guess what stamp sells the best?
Landmarks. I'm sure landmarks are, in general, pretty agreeable.
Very close.
The American flag is still the top-selling stamp.
Billions and billions sold. The American flag is the McDonald's hamburger of postage stamps.
Any variation of it, or one in particular?
They release a new American flag every year.
No way.
So here's what the Postal Service doesn't want. Your family members.
Subjects must have national appeal.
It doesn't matter how awesome Uncle Bob is.
Unless he had a national impact, no.
Other no-nos, disasters, national tragedies.
We will not show guns. We try to avoid nudity at all costs.
Elizabeth, keep it G-rated.
We will not show cigarettes.
What about pipes?
No, we try to have stamps be a smoke-free zone.
What about alcohol?
No, we would probably try to avoid that as well.
Have you had any situations where you had to, like, sanitize someone a little bit?
One example is Betty Davis. We had a very famous photograph of her that we used as the premise for her stamp. But in the photograph, she was wearing a fur coat and smoking a cigarette. So in the final painting, there was no cigarette in her hand, and the fur had been kind of given a reddish tint so that it wouldn't be automatically necessarily a real fur. Just out of, you know, respect to those...
Minks everywhere.
There we go.
Elizabeth, I want you to see this stamp. Tell me if you think it looks natural.
Okay, got it.
I'm looking at the stamp. It's kind of hilarious because her fingers are clearly in the I'm holding a cigarette position.
Yeah, like it's like a lobster glove.
Yeah. Does she use her two fingers like pincers? Betty Davis. Like, we never knew that she actually uses her hand like lobster claws.
Plot twist. Betty Davis.
One other thing Bill told us. As you're thinking about what makes a stamp a stamp, there is a feature that is non-negotiable for all stamps. It is the essence of stampiness.
The serpentine perf.
The serpentine perf.
So it's the wavy cut line around the edge of a stamp.
It has to have like a border with like little edges on it?
Yes. Perf stands for perforation, and it comes from back in the day when there were perforations to help you tear stamps off the roll.
We feel like getting rid of that makes stamps less stamp-like and more sticker-like.
Looks cute, though.
Okay, so Elizabeth, those are the guidelines.
Okay.
Can you think of anything that you'd like to that you would like to see on a stamp?
Oh man. Yes. I would love to see one with tiki drinks, but they may not approve of that because of the alcohol.
Yeah, might be an uphill battle.
My other top idea is Bigfoot.
Bigfoot.
True American.
Yes.
I think it could go far.
Modesty could be an issue.
Yeah, we can maybe just have him be a little bit blurry in the background or something.
Giant fig leaf.
Yeah, you could probably be strategic with your placement of bushes and trees.
I think you have a strong hairy contender here.
Definitely.
I can see it.
Yeah, I can see it.
I think we should make this our mission to get Bigfoot on an envelope.
Let's do it. I like it.
Okay, now that we have our winning idea, next step is submitting the concept in writing via stamped letter, obviously,
yep,
to the Postal Service, and we will have competition.
We get over 40,000 suggestions a year.
Holy shit. But, like, is it just Bill deciding what's agreeable to the American people?
No. And this gets us to the next phase of stamp selection. Your Bigfoot submission would be vetted against the rules and then sent to a secret stamp society of stamp selectors.
What?
CSAC.
That's not what it's really called.
It is.
It's the Citizen Stamp Advisory Committee.
And it is an Illuminati-like unit.
What?
Made up of a dozen individuals, none of whom are postal employees.
No way. How does someone get to be on SAC?
CSAC.
CSAC.
To get in the SAC, the Postmaster General needs to appoint you.
They're usually people that have certain areas of expertise.
Historians, scientists, filmmakers, actors, basketball coaches. These are the gatekeepers, the people who stand between Bigfoot and America's envelopes.
Damn.
They vet every single stamp submission and keep special interests out of it.
So that the voice of the American people is being represented on stamps and not people with the power to purchase their way on there.
Was it like all oil rigs before CSAC?
Well, it's my understanding that the tipping point was the Chicken Association.
Powerful corporations and deep-pocketed chicken associations were known to lobby their way onto stamps, and CSAC was created to stop that.
U.S. Postal Service is looking like a great version of democracy right now.
The bar is low. And here's where it gets a little bit more like the Washington we know. It's not a completely transparent process because CSAC deliberations are kept totally secret. Bill claims it's because if a draft stamp leaked, it would incite furious philatelizing. But whatever the reason, CSAC is locked up tighter than a P.O. box.
I would love to would love to be a fly on the wall.
Me too. So I asked Bill whether I could go to a CSAC meeting if I promised not to talk about any stamps in development. And he was like, no.
The meetings are closed and confidential.
Bill, come on.
I asked Bill again, and he kept deflecting. Suddenly, Mr. Stampman was Mr. Spin Doctor.
There's no mystery, honestly. It's just we go through the list, and we have debates, and we talk, and that's about it.
Elizabeth, I don't know about you. I feel like Bill was trying to get us off the case.
There's no mystery here. I will tell you nothing.
Exactly. But if we have any chance of giving Bigfoot a leg up, we have to know what happens in those meetings. So we tried some CSAC members.
No, I'm not supposed to be talking about CSAC. You have to call them directly.
Unfortunately, I'm not able to talk about this. Communication all has to go through the U.S. P.S., so...
Thank you so much.
Good luck with your story.
So you found someone, right? Like, you definitely found someone.
We sure did.
I am going to have to join the witness protection plan after we have this conversation.
Who's the informer?
Her name is Jessica.
Yes, Jessica!
Jessica is a designer who served on CSAC for 6 years, and Elizabeth, at the risk of inciting a stampede, we are going to take you... inside the sack.
Yes.
I remember joining my first meeting and this marvelous man. Named
the head of the stamp committee. He turns to her.
And he says to me, I'd like to welcome you to the Citizen Stamp Advisory Committee because I know that you, like all of us, are proud to serve. And I thought to myself, proud to serve stamps? And what's so funny is that in this age of email and Slack and Skype that we would care this much about a paper rectangle, kind of interesting.
So these are the people you'd have to convince to approve Bigfoot. Imagine a bunch of cultural bigwigs sitting around a long table.
There was always a very serious agenda, multi-page agenda, briefing books.
And for 8 hours a day, for 10 days a year, this group discussed stamps.
Are they compensated for this?
They get a stipend.
Worth it.
So the committee is there to adjudicate which stamps to greenlight, and every once in a while, a stamp sailed through.
Sinatra was a slam dunk foregone conclusion. We knew Sinatra was going to happen.
But in general, it is a long, sticky journey for a new stamp to be born, because CSACers have a lot of opinions.
I love the jazz stamp. I love the circus stamp. I think the Ronald Reagan stamp was kind of a snooze. I liked the Albert Bierstadt stamp. You know, the John Wayne stamp, not so exciting. Fruit. Could have done without fruit. My most crowning disappointment is purple pansies in a white wicker wheelbarrow. I'm not pro wheelbarrow of pansies, of wicker, of Hallmark. It is like
now imagine a dozen people with their own pansy-covered hills to die on.
There's nothing particularly interesting about it. A pansy is a pansy if you're going to put...
Deliberations got fiery.
Yeah, I bet.
Oh, I think there were many sessions where I banged my head against the table.
Like literally banged?
Like literally banged.
What were the arguments about?
Imagine you're in a room with a bunch of serious historians and retired Republican judges, and someone proposes to put Maggie Simpson on a stamp. Imagine the conversation that it's like, you know, you can imagine, like, really? We're dealing with 200 years of American history, and we're going to put a cartoon baby with a binky on a stamp?
I think the traditionalists are like, these are government documents, and we need to take them seriously.
Yeah, they're like a form of currency.
Exactly.
But wasn't there a whole Simpsons stamp book?
Yeah, Maggie's backers got her through by the skin of her binky.
It must feel really awesome to be doing that and then, like, see your stamps.
Yeah, but your stamp hasn't even made it through yet. I mean, that's just the first hurdle for a new stamp. Because once an idea makes a cut, there's a whole other round of arguments about the style, the rendering, young Elvis, old Elvis.
Are these stamps that they're looking at, are they already designed? Or is this, like, concept still?
Everything was at a different phase.
The design has to go through many drafts before it goes in front of the Postmaster General for a verdict. All told, we're talking about years of failed arguments, banged heads, frayed nerves, and happy mediums poured into every tiny tableau contained within the serpentine perf.
This makes me even happier to go to my post office and buy more stamps. Like, I knew there was thought and intention, but I love that there's so many steps in the process and so many people involved. Like, those little stamps that show up at your post office, they're little heroes.
They made it through a gauntlet.
They made it through.
I want to be honest, though. Getting Bigfoot on a stamp is going to be a tough, scalloped row to hoe if we go through the official channels.
Well, I don't expect any shortcuts, but now that I know that I can submit ideas, I got a couple more letters to write.
But this is such a great idea. I don't feel like you should have to wait your whole lifetime for this. Elizabeth, you deserve a Bigfoot stamp. And I pledge to you, this podcast won't end until you are holding a Bigfoot stamp in your hands.
Oh, God.
I think we found a back door, Elizabeth.
This sounds very sneaky.
And I need you to stay next to your cell phone day and night, and I'm going to call you when we have more.
I await your phone call.
Keep that ringer on. We are on a mission to make Elizabeth's Bigfoot stamp a reality, and we would go to the ends of the earth to make this happen. It's really convenient that the stamp artist works 10 minutes from our office.
Yeah, we literally could have strolled over here on our lunch break. This is perfect.
Thank you.
Appreciate it. $367, $369. Okay, so I texted him, but...
Guys.
Hey, Ken.
Hi.
Hi, Flora.
Flora?
Hi.
Flora, like the flower?
Yes.
In Italian?
Exactly. Exactly.
Thanks so much for having us.
Cam Mack is one of Brooklyn's 70 kabillion painters and illustrators, but the only one who has designed an official postage stamp every year for the last 12 years. He took us up to the skylit studio above his apartment. Is this the nest where Bigfoot will hatch?
Is this where all your stamps were born?
That's right. This is where all my stamps was born, in this studio. You know,
so. Bigfoot would be born into a large family. Cam designed a whole series of Chinese New Year stamps.
11 of them are all hung here. And there's no particular orders. And so you had the firecrackers, you had the drums, you had the red lantern, you had the lucky bamboo, you had the red envelope, the peach blossoms. And
Cam is proud to see his fledglings leave the nest.
I get a little thrilled when I go to my local post office. I say, I did that. I say, what? You know, they never expect. Someone in the neighborhood is the designer of the stamp. So I got to know a lot of postal workers that way. And they treat me extra nice.
Wow, you're really lucky.
No.
It's clear that Bigfoot would be born into a loving, stamp-positive home. It was time to pop the question. So will you help Elizabeth?
Yeah, of course. I heard that she wanted to design a stamp for the Bigfoot, the Yeti, the Sasquatch.
You think this concept isn't bad?
It's not bad at all, I think, because we have our own monsters. I don't want to call Bigfoot as a monster. I don't know. There must be a better way to categorize.
Mythical creature?
Mythical creature, or, you know, that would be such a great theme. Oh, my gosh.
Okay, so where do we begin?
I want to print out a blank sheet of stamp, and maybe I can sketch on it, kind of, you know.
Perfect. Yeah. Cam sat down on what we'll call his drawing sofa and began bringing Elizabeth's hairy mythical creature stamp to life.
You know what? I'm going to use a marker. I don't know. I'm just kind of like, he's really hairy.
You've already only drawn a few lines, and already I see Bigfoot.
So the whole idea is the fur, you know, on him. I just imagine it's a long, furry, it's not fur, it's human hair, but it's long.
That's how I imagine it, too.
Yeah. You know, he'll kind of look like Chewbacca in Star Wars, kind of.
Yeah.
Right? Big shoulder. I want him to have a kind face, not like a scary face, you know.
Yeah, I like how you gave him a little smile there.
So, not bad. I hope Elizabeth would like it.
I think she'll love it. Thank you, Cam.
You're welcome. You're welcome.
Hello?
Hey, Elizabeth.
Hi, Flora.
Thank you for picking up at 4:37 a.m.
No problem.
Have you been waiting with bated breath?
I am dying right now. Well, on Friday, I got this sneaky envelope from stamps.com that says your custom stamps have arrived. I really hope there's Bigfoot stamps inside, and I hope they are amazing.
All right. Do you have an unboxing sofa?
I mean, yes, I can move away from my computer.
Great. Okay. I want you to open the letter and walk us through it.
Okay. I am opening up this large envelope. Still opening. And inside is a sheet of some sweet hand-drawn Bigfoot stamps that are U.S. postage, 55 cents, some currency here, and it has a little stamps.com logo on it. Look at that.
Next time you say stamps.com, feel free to say offer code E-L-T.
Can you print anything on a stamps.com stamp?
This is not about stamps.com. This is about your wish being fulfilled.
But, like, could you do all those no's that the U.S. Postal Service won't allow for their design? Could I have a tragedy-based stamp?
All cigarettes? Someone smoking, like, a whole mouthful of cigarettes.
Yeah.
Betty Davis has cigarettes coming out of her ears. Yeah. Every pincer has a cigarette in it.
Every single lobster pincer has a cigarette.
Okay, how would you describe the stamp?
It has a pencil drawing of a Bigfoot in some mountain, probably in, like, Washington or Oregon. There's a lot of detail on him. He has a lot of little hairs. It's everything I wanted and more. This is very surprising, honestly.
There are more surprises in store for you.
Oh, my God. I'm not ready.
Now go to your surprise couch.
Where's my surprise couch?
You tell me. It's your house.
Okay, we're moving. Okay, I'm moving. Okay, I'm sitting on my surprise couch.
Okay, that Bigfoot stamp that you are holding in your hands was drawn by a professional stamp artist. His name is Cam Mack.
Yes, Cam, yes. Oh, this is the greatest gift. Oh, thank you, guys. Thank you, Cam. Thank you, team. I am going to now just send a lot of people Bigfoot stamps. I'm going to write a lot of non-thank you related cards. This is going to be fun.
Well, speaking of thank you related cards, do you want our address?
Yes, I do. That was like a very long pause. I thought you dropped off. Let me get a pen.
Okay.
Going to my other pen couch. I got a lot of letters to write.
If you want to submit your own stamp idea to CSAC, you can find their address on our website, elt.show. And if you have a burning question you can't find an answer to, give us a ring. 833-RING-ELT. 833-RING-ELT.
This episode of Every Little Thing was produced by Aaron Reese, Bibi Flanagan, Annette Heist, and Flora Lichtman, and edited by Caitlin Kenny and Jorge Just. We had help from Nicole Pasulka and Doug Barron. Mixed by Dara Hirsch. Scored by Dara Hirsch and Bobby Lord. I have a cigarette in my pincers. Goodbye. Mr. Stepper.